Today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley points out when we failed spiritually, God will forgive us.
You made a mistake. It's not the end of the world. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He will forgive our mistakes. He will turn our defeats into victories. And he will also turn our failures into teachable moments. And we will be victorious.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Significant spiritual failure can leave us broken and hopeless. We feel guilty, like we've let others down, like we've let God down. But today, Pastor Ray says there is recovery from failure. We'll see an example in the Old Testament today of how failure can be the precursor to great victory.
So let's open our Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 8. God loves to turn our defeats into victory. So, beginning with verse 1, it says this. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land." God says, well, they just got defeated there. And God says, no, you're going back, and you're going to win this time. Well, this is a story of learning. God wants Israel. You're going right back to where you failed because God loves to turn our greatest mistakes into our greatest victories. After we make a mistake or even a huge mistake, the heart of the Father always has a fresh word of encouragement and instruction. And the amazing thing is you're a lot more tuned in to listen when you're hearing words not of condemnation, but you're hearing words of favor, of instruction, and of encouragement. So look with me in verse 2. He says, "And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it." God says, I'm not done with you. Yeah, Ai, you blew it. Because there was this guy named Achan. God said, don't take the spoils of Jericho. It's the first city, so give it like a tithe to the Lord. And one guy out of the whole Israeli nation looked left and right, nobody sees, and he took some treasure for himself. And God lets Israel then be defeated in this little hill in Ai, and he tells them, and they go, why did we get defeated? Because there was sin in the camp. So God wanted to bring that and expose that and deal with that. And he does. But now God says, now you're going back to the place of failure. You're going back to the place of mistake. And here's what he says. You're going to win. I will do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho. In other words, you're going to have victory right in the very place where you were defeated. So God always has a fresh word of instruction for us as well. God has a plan for his people to follow. Because Joshua did not, you know, they have this miraculous victory in Jericho, and then they have a little village on the top of a hill called Ai. So Joshua took it on himself, and he asked his generals, it's a little village up on a hill. What do you guys think? We don't need to send the whole army. Just send a few guys, and we'll take over that, and on we go. And he only sent part of the army. But I want you to notice, look at verse 1. This time, God tells him to take all the people of war. So listen to this. Even though it's a little hill, God says, take the whole army. We have to listen to God and for his instructions every single time. Because the moment you go, oh, this is not a big deal. I don't really even need to pray about it. Whoa, be careful. We need to pray about everything. Nothing is little or insignificant to the Lord. So the Lord also instructs Joshua to use this time an ambush. That was different. That's not what happened in Jericho. God was going to take advantage of Ai's self-confidence. because of Israel being defeated the first time. And so, you know, now finally God says, and by the way, when you win this city of Ai, you get to take the spoil from the upcoming victory. Note, if Achan had only, you know, waited a few more days, he could have had spoils that he could have shared with his family and his children and held on to. But he did it at the wrong time, in the wrong way, and without God's direction. And so God had to expose it. So God says here, I have given Ai into your hands. You're going to have victory in the very place where you were defeated. Now, the next life lesson, very quickly, is this. God is not only the God of new beginnings, he is also the God of new strategies. So what I'm saying is that now that God has your attention because you failed in an area of weakness in your life, here's the good that can come out of it. Now you're listening to every word that proceeds from your forgiving, loving, gracious, encouraging dad. Love you, son. I forgive you. You know, you've repented. You've admitted that you're, you know, all under this failure and condemnation. I love you. I'm not through with you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to give you victory. And you're going to be a new man and a stronger man because of it. So God has new strategies. Well, listen to this, starting with verse 3, and I'm going to read through verse 13. But listen as God gives a startling new strategy for this little village called Ai. Verse 3 says, so Joshua arose, and all the people of war, and Joshua chose 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in ambush. He's repeating God's instructions. Against this city, behind the city. Do not go very far away from this city, but all of you wait there and be ready. And then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city from the front, and it will come about when they come out against us, as at the first. When the first time they went right to the gate, and the people came out, but they got routed. This time he says, we will flee before them. So a little contingency will go to the gate, they'll see us, they'll come charging at us, we'll turn around like, oh no, we're scared, and start running away, and they'll follow us, but we're setting a trap. So verse 6, for they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, they are fleeing before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city. And for the Lord your God will deliver into your hand. And it will be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord you shall do, see, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. Then Joshua rose early in the morning and mustered the people, went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near. And they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now a valley lay between them and Ai. So he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city and its rear guard on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. All right. Very quickly, the strategy that God gives Joshua is almost exactly the opposite of the strategy he used for Jericho. So it's interesting, in the Jericho operation, it involved marching the whole nation openly in the daylight so everybody could see them, their enemies, once a day and the seventh day seven times. But for Ai, it was a covert action, and God said, I want you to start at night. That will prepare the way for the daylight attack. And the other thing is that for Jericho, the army was united. Now God says we need to divide and conquer. There'll be one portion up here that will confront, like at the beginning, you send a few, and they'll come chasing you, and you'll turn and run. It'll draw all their army out of the city, leaving the city vulnerable, and then we'll have others hiding and waiting and going in to burn the city before them. And the Lord gave them a powerful victory. So as I mentioned here, I put a note. It is important that we seek the Lord's will for each and every situation so that we don't depend on past victories as we plan for the future or past strategies. For instance, you're at a job all of a sudden, there's a new offer that comes. Oh, it's going to be better. It's going to be bigger. You're going to be more important. You're going to have more money. We're going to give you whatever you want. And you don't really even pray about it because those are all the things you would love to see. And you just take it and you go. And then you find out that the problems you were having where you were are magnified in the new place. And then it dawns on you, I didn't even pray about it. It just looked so good. It seemed so obvious. But listen, it's okay. When we fail, do you think that God, it took him by surprise that they failed at Ai? That God, oh, I didn't know that you guys were going to do that. No, God, look, I knew you were going to make the wrong choice. I knew you were going to fail. And therefore, because God knows the future in advance, he goes, I've got a plan and a strategy, and we're going to give you victory. So if you have made a mistake, and then you're like, oh, now I'm trapped. I didn't pray. I wasn't listening. Here's the good news. God says, I will turn your situation into a victory. But now you need to listen to me. Going forward, I'll make it all right, and I'll work all things together for your good because I love you. But listen to me. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. He has our full, undivided attention. So we listen to him, and next time you hear something that's like, wow, your heart just goes, woo, we gotta, let's go, we're moving, let's do it, it's incredible. And then all of a sudden you go, but, let's pray about it. And you humble yourself and you go before the Lord and say, Lord, man, this is like a dream. And sometimes the Lord will say, good, it is the dream, I've prepared you, go ahead and take it. And then you do it with joy. But there may be something that down here, it all, 90% is good, but there's this 10% that you have a check in your heart. And God says, I want you to let that come up and pray about it. And you pray and you say, well, Lord, it all looks good except I'm worried about this. And the Lord goes, good. I'm glad you brought that to my attention because that's going to be a trigger for you and it will end up not being a blessing. I don't want you to go. You go, wow, Lord, thank you. Now I know. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to stay close to what you say. And it's better to be where you are with the blessing of the Lord than what looks good on the outside but ends up turning into a great mistake. But God will redeem everything. So within all of that, let's go to the last one. How Joshua displaced the orphan spirit and ignited faith in God's presence. Now I'm going to read verses 14 through 20, and this is beautiful. It says in verse 14, now it happened when the king of Ai saw it, that the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out against Israel to battle. He and all his people at an appointed place before the plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. Oh, this is good. When you listen to the Lord and follow his instructions, he will always set a trap for the devils that are trying to trip you up. How many are good with that? He's going to ambush them and knock them down. Verse 15, Joshua and all of Israel made as if they were beaten before them, and they fled away the way of the wilderness. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. Listen, verse 17, there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued them. They didn't leave one man back where their homes, families, and children were. Note this, the devil always overplays his hand. He will always make a mistake. God will always be a step ahead of him. And when you follow the Lord, he will ambush the enemy and make all things work for your good. Verse 18, then the Lord said to Joshua, now stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. So those in ambush arose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it and hurried to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on the pursuers. Wow, God is amazing, and he is awesome. So here's Joshua. He was the lure. They come with a little contingency. Oh, no. So just like last time, and they're running away. And at a certain point, the Lord says to Joshua, okay, stop. And they don't run anymore. And they turn around, and Joshua lifts up his sword. He lifts up his sword, and when he does that, they're ready to fight. And all of a sudden, the enemy's confused, and they go, something's wrong. They look very courageous. And then out of the bushes come two more contingencies, and then they turn around and look behind, and their whole village is going up in smoke. They totally lose heart, turn in disarray, and there's a great victory that is won. So here's the thing. Lifting, when Joshua turned around, he lifted the sword of the Lord. You know what that is? That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. And the promise of God was, I have given Ai into your hands. And now that they're hearing the Lord, following the Word of God, following the instructions of the Lord, Joshua turns around and says, now, devils, you are done. And he lifts his sword, and there was a great victory that was had. Now, here's what I want to say. The enemy wanted to trap Israel from this big failure at Ai so that they would say, oh no, we failed. We let sin in the camp. God's rejected us. We're not going to inherit the land. We're losers. God has abandoned us. We're on our own. So that was a dangerous place mentally for the ancient Israelites to be. Modern times, what does the devil do? The devil takes your greatest mistake and failure, and he said, and you start hearing these voices in your head. I am a failure, and I'm all alone. I blew it. And because I have failed, God can't bless me anymore. He's forsaken me. I feel alone. I'm unwanted. Now I have to take care of myself. I'm unworthy. If I want to be loved, I've got to earn it. Lies, lies, lies. I have to self-medicate to take care of myself. I'm so hurt. I deserve to be able to do this. I only have worth if I'm successful in the eyes of others. I will finally work hard enough to gain approval. Lies, lies, lies. These lies keep us feeling afraid, isolated, shamed, and apart from God. We feel a lack of God's provision, protection, and our identity. Those are lies. Here's the truth. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The Lord is with you. And he says, now, listen to me. You're safe. Your identity is, you made a mistake. It's not the end of the world. If you have blown it royally, if you have an Ai in your life, even recently, God is not, he's not done with you. He still loves you. You're still his favorite child. He wants to bless you. His power and his presence are with us. He says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, but now that you're listening to me, you will have victory. He will forgive our mistakes. He will turn our defeats into victories, and he will also turn our failures into teachable moments, and we will be victorious. Lift your hands up just for a moment, okay? So you know what? The Bible talks about a lot about lifting of hands. What does that mean? In the Psalms, they're always saying, lift your hands. You know what that means? What do little babies do when they need safety, security? Mom, right? You lift your hands for comfort, for love, for encouragement. And the Bible talks about, let us lift our hands as sons and daughters of the living God. We need you. We need your protection. We're listening now. We need your encouragement. And it's also worship. It's love. It's adoration. Thank you, Daddy. It's saying, I'm not alone when you lift your hands. Joshua lifted his sword. They were not alone. The Lord was with them. The enemy went down that day, and they had victory where they had been defeated. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God. So bow your heads and let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I want to thank you. And we lift our hands in the sanctuary of the Lord because we need you, Daddy. And we trust in you. And you're our dad. You're our heavenly Father. And forgive us our mistakes. Forgive us our, you know, taking things for granted. Forgive us for not praying about every little thing and not listening to you. We're sorry. We learn. And now we're going to be paying more attention. We're going to lean in. We're going to listen. We're going to grow. And we thank you that you're not through with us, that you would never abandon us, you will never leave nor forsake us, and that you want to give us insight, fresh encouragement and instruction so we can go right to where we were defeated and now have a lasting victory and stand on the place where the devil danced on us, and now we will stand in victory and put our foot down on the promises of God and the goodness of the Lord. and the faithfulness of our God and the blessing of the land you would bring us into. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There may be somebody that you've never, given your life to Christ. There must come a day, a moment in time in your life where you open the door of your heart and ask Jesus to come into your life. You have to admit that you're not perfect. That's what the word sin means. One iota less than absolute holy perfection is sin. It means to miss perfection, miss the mark. So it's admitting that you need forgiveness and then asking Jesus to cleanse you. He died for you. He paid the price for your sins and to be able to forgive you and then fill you with his Spirit. You were born once physically. You need to get born a second time spiritually for eternal life. But maybe there's somebody that you've, had an AI. You've failed. You've royally blown it, and you don't know where you stand with God. What should I do? Well, you need to recommit your heart and life to Christ. So you pray, and you admit your sin, and ask fresh forgiveness, and be restored in your relationship with him. So for all and any of those reasons, let's pray together. Those who are willing, pray out loud after me, after this manner. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. And I am so sorry for everything that I have done wrong. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place. Thank you for paying for all my sins. I open the door of my heart, and I ask you to come into my life to be my personal Lord and Savior. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I receive the gift of eternal life. Now help me follow you, Jesus, all the way to heaven until I see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, leading us in an important word of prayer. And if you have questions about your relationship with the Lord and what it means to be a Christian, we invite you to get answers online at maranatharadio.com. Just click on Knowing God at maranatharadio.com. Now, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention Turning Defeat into Victory. It's available for just $7. Again, the title, Turning Defeat into Victory. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Joshua on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. What's the most surprising facet you uncover in your book? What brings the biggest wow when you tell people about this material?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is learning about the feasts of the Lord. I think the church has done a great job of looking at the feasts in the spring that go from Passover, when Christ was crucified, to the resurrection, and then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell. But there are three more feasts that are in the fall, and those three feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ and really are all about the second coming. They all point to the days I think we're living in right now, Dave, and I think people will be fascinated to learn more about these feasts, how they reveal more about Jesus Christ and the hope of his return.
You know, many New Testament believers look at the feasts as simply an historical fact. And they don't really actually pull that material into their day-to-day relationship with the Lord. But that really is a mistake, isn't it?
It is. The next feast to be fulfilled, it's all these allusions, really, to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling for people to look into this and understand deeper layers that will ignite their faith and put fire in their soul for sharing the Lord.
All right. Well, Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Joshua.
More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.